chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Jennifer Hopper on the show today. Jennifer is the Chief Information Officer at Save-A-Lot. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Jennifer, good morning. It is so good to see you. Thank you so much for making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast today.
Lisa, you are welcome. You are a ray of sunshine. You are a spark of inspiration to me and so many. I am honored to be on your show today. Thank you.
Well, we've got so much to talk about, and I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you. So let's just dig right in. One thing you and I have never talked about is like how you grew up. I'm not even sure if you grew up here in St. Louis. So just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town of 3,000, Palmyra, Missouri, in Northeast Missouri. And I think about my childhood, it's very idyllic, right? So amazing parents, I still hold them on a pedestal today. Graduated from Palmyra High School, attended Missouri S&T, played softball. So yeah, that's a small town story. And now after Rolla, when I graduated, I joined Accenture and moved to St. Louis. And St. Louis has been my home for the past 22 years now.
Yes. Well, we're so happy that you're here. But I have to ask you, go back to when you were young, because you went to Missouri S&T, which is a leading STEM university. So was there something that inspired you or a person that inspired you, Jennifer? How'd you get interested in tech? I have to understand that story.
There was someone in my childhood, my senior year. And one of my favorite quotes of recent is, underestimate me, that will be fun. So my senior year, I was looking at universities, both from an academic perspective and athletic perspective and balancing. And I was bouncing those off a mentor of mine. And that particular mentor, when we got to, at the time it was University of Missouri, Rolla, she said to me with a look on her face of, oh, you wouldn't fit there. That's not a good choice for you. So it took me aback, and I thought, well, I guess that's where I'm going. Because if someone underestimates me, it's that encouragement to say, I can overcome that obstacle. So it was that, it's kind of the opposite, right? So there was a lot of inspiration to attend a good university, follow my heart, my mind. But also, when I get that challenge put in front of me of doubt, it's energizing to me. And, you know, I had a great career, a great college career. I played softball at Rolla. I actually majored in biochem. My goal was to go into the medical field. In order to attend medical school, you have to do countless hours of shadowing and extracurricular. So I did that. And they do that for a reason. So as I was shadowing, as I was spending my 4 a.m., 5 a.m. mornings as a college junior in the hospital, shadowing the physicians, I thought, I don't know that this is the right fit for me for the rest of my life. So it gave me pause, but I continued with my undergraduate, graduated, and at the end thought, I need to avoid medical school until I am sure that this is the path for me.
Yes.
Two of my girlfriends had joined Accenture, and I am from a small town in Missouri. So the thought of traveling and the excitement of IT consulting. So then I made my list of consulting firms to interview with and landed at Accenture. It was a great fit for me. Hopefully I was a great fit for them, had a great career and really traveled the United States, had international travel with Accenture as well. So, and I always planned to go back to medical school 5 years later. It was my plan. And that 5-year mark hit and I thought, this is so much fun. How can I leave this world of technology? This is inspiring and challenging. And it worked out well. I kind of label myself an accidental technologist. I didn't start out. I wasn't a PI major. I wasn't techie as a child, but I'm a lifelong learner. Every challenge that gets in front of me, I think I might be the highest user of search engines across the board because I hear a word, I don't know what it is. My inclination is to Google and find out what that is, you know, however simple or complex the topic.
For young people that are listening, that shadowing and then saying, I'm not really sure after you saw a day in the life of, that is so important. Get out there and explore. Get out there and talk to people that are doing what you think you might be interested in and get as much experience as you can. So I think that that is excellent advice. The other thing that I would say, don't be afraid of a pivot. You know, you went to school for one thing, but then jumped into technology and goodness gracious, I'm so glad that you did. There's never been a better time to be a technologist.
There's so many companies that will say now we are a technology company and we deliver groceries. We're a technology company and we provide payment services. So it's a huge driver for across industries.
Right. Well, I know you had an illustrious career at MasterCard. You did many different things there, but I kind of want to get into what you're doing today. So, I mean, you were a technology leader at MasterCard, many different roles, global technology consulting program lead, North America business development lead, SVP for technology. I mean, you did a lot of things while you're there, but 10 months ago, you had the opportunity to come on as the CIO for Save-A-Lot, and you have the top technology spot. And one of the things I want to talk about before we actually get into what you're doing at Save-A-Lot, I actually had our NSC, our National Recruiting Center, do a poll of kind of our applicants over the last several months. And, you know, our applicant pool is anywhere from 13 to 70% female, you know, and we know that when women get into technology, 16% of the senior level tech jobs are women and only 10% make it to the executive level. In your view, what can we do? What kinds of things can we be doing to kind of right the ship and get more women interested in technology and young girls? What kind of things can we do to open the doors there in your mind?
I am actually surprised that the 13 to 17% was that high in your applicant pool. What I see across the upper level tech roles sometimes is 0%. There'll be one out of 50 that are a female applying. And so it makes you pause and think, what can we as women do to encourage other women? And it takes me to, I have to see her to be her. I've had wonderful women role models that have believed in me. I've had wonderful male role models that have believed in me. You know, that's not gender specific, but when I look at my leadership and I don't see anyone that looks like me, sounds like me, it's tough to identify. It's tough to think I can do that too. What I try to do personally is put myself out into the community. It's been tough with a pandemic, but going out to high schools and colleges. So it's putting ourselves out there, showing our vulnerability, showing that, you know, I don't have it all together every minute and every day. And that's okay. Because I think as women, we're so self-deprecating, we're so self-doubting. And then we look around us and everyone seems to have it put together so perfectly. It's opening up and having those vulnerabilities. That's one. Two is really, as hiring managers, we need to make an effort to push back. A great mentor I had at MasterCard, she had a senior level position open and all male applicants. And she pushed back on the recruiter and said, I am not hiring until I have at least one female applicant. It took months to get a female applicant through the vetting process. And it's not to say that she was only going to hire a female, but we have to make sure that we have a balance across the applicants, across diverse backgrounds, whether that's the whole spectrum. One thing that we're doing is launch code and opening up those roles inside the IT organization and having an intentional purpose to partner with organizations like Launch Code. So you'll be hearing more about that soon. Kind of let the cat out of the bag early there, but that's one thing we are specifically doing within our leadership team here.
I know that you had a really robust mentoring program at MasterCard. I mean, are you doing something similar to that at Save-A-Lot? Because you already mentioned it. I mean, I don't know how many times already in our conversation you said to me today, I had a mentor that said this. And so mentoring is so important. Do you guys, have you put anything formal like that, or is that in the works or the plan?
That is in our 2022 culture roadmap for our IT organization. So as I look across the demographics and even look across the leadership team, we have very empathetic leaders to the cause. So you will see that coming forward in 2022. Nothing formal yet, but what I do, I host Ask Me Anything every week with the entire organization. It's 1 hour for the organization to come and ask any questions of me and the leadership team. And, you know, it's an opportunity for women and men in the organization to have a personal connection to the leadership team, because in this hybrid world that we live in today, those hallway conversations of how was your weekend, or, you know, how was your son's baseball game last night? It's hard to get those. So it's a little bit of an informal opportunity that I think provides that mentoring, right? So they get to hear us talk about culture and what's top of mind for us and just have a conversation.
And you do that on a weekly basis?
Every week.
Wow. Ask Me Anything. I love that. What an awesome idea. Well, you just already kind of alluded to, you know, we're not having necessarily those conversations that we've had in the past because of the hybrid model. I've read studies that have talked about the pandemic and how the pandemic has been devastating to all segments. But one thing that I read just recently is it has really been devastating to women in tech. And I think we've all seen this, the technology demand has continued to escalate, right? And the things that are on people's plates, but then women especially are really bearing the major responsibility of the home. There's been so many good things that have come out of this time because we've seen the humanity and that everybody's alike, you know, kids popping in on videos and on Zoom calls and things like that. How have you guys handled that, Jennifer? And how are you handling it holistically? Because, you know, there are studies that are also showing that people are at the highest burnout with handling all this, a lot of anxiety and stress right now. How are you guys handling that at Save-A-Lot?
Two things. One, on a personal basis, whenever we are on a Teams call or Zoom call, and you can kind of tell when the person that you're talking to is looking over to the side or up and telling their kids to be quiet. I always call it out and say, bring your kids on camera. Let me say hello. And there's two goals there. One, I love meeting people's family. I love hearing from the kids. And I love telling them how amazing and grateful I am for mom or dad to be a part of Save-A-Lot family. So to pass that along to the kids and just to hear them in the pride and to let my colleague know, it's okay. We're working from home. The kids come in. My kids know if they enter my office, I have glass doors on my office, that if they come in, I will put them on camera. And so that has broken them from just coming in and talking at any time. But
right.
I have them come on camera and I'll come to the side and make them get on. So it's just, it's removing the burden of I have to be 100% professional when I'm sitting in my home with my family in my personal environment. So that's one thing, just a small cultural thing. From a professional perspective across the organization, we are behind the curve transitioning to Agile. So part of that is moving toward a results-oriented environment. I think all of us are reading the headlines of, you know, it's the end of the 40-hour work week. It's the end of 8-to-5 work days. What does that mean for us? What is that impact? How do we set those core business hours? You know, we're on a onshore-offshore hybrid model that I think works beautifully. And then for me personally, being able to have the flexibility to kind of move my day about, I want to ensure that the entire organization feels that, but we stay results oriented. We know what we need to accomplish. We're not punching a clock. Starting to get into more of a study of the peak and trough times for peak productivity for all of us. So just entering that journey to understand that I know I'm an early morning person. I love the quietness. That's my creative time. And then the afternoon is more where I hit my peak social time. So interacting with everyone. So I think just ensuring that we stay results oriented. We don't get down into the micromanagement of if someone takes from 12 to 1 to have lunch with their spouse or lunch with their friend or colleague. Those are personal connections that we have to have we aren't getting those in the workplace anymore. So that's one thing we're doing, try to automate, come to standard procedures, tracking, that sort of thing is, you know, really what we're focused on here at Save A Lot.
That is so good, Jennifer. And I want to dig in. I've got more questions for you around that topic, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Jennifer Hopper. Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground. So welcome back, everyone. So Jennifer, you and I were just talking about a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. And, you know, we all have assets, but three of our most important assets really are our time, our energy, and our priorities. And I say all the time, people, especially leaders, cannot forget the energy part. Because even if you've got the time, if you have drained your energy, you're not going to be at your best self. A good friend of mine, Jeff Henderson, that wrote the book Four, but he said the best gift that you can give to your people is a energized you. And if we come in depleted and our buckets are empty, we're not going to be at our best. And so I am always curious for high performing leaders, how do you manage those things personally for Jennifer Hopper?
A few years ago, I intentionally sat down. I was at a place in my career and personal life, I needed to figure out what are those things? What does the kind of second half of my life look like? And so I intentionally sat down and defined what my North Star was. Where am I my best and where do I want to achieve? It was embarrassingly simple, I have to admit. And I just said my North Star is just to be happy, just to be content with where I am. And so I started with that. And then I mapped back. What are those things that make me happy? It was kids. It was family. It was spending time with friends. And then I mapped that all the way down into my daily activities. And then I cut things out of my life that didn't get me to that path of happiness and replaced, you know, activities with others that were healthier lifestyle choices. So I always remind myself, when I think about time, energy, and then ultimately the priorities, how can I get to that North Star? One of the tools that I use is communicate openly. A great example, we had an event yesterday and the event was 4 to 6, but I had a commitment to my daughter to attend her dance performance at her high school soccer game. And so I had to clearly communicate my time commitments so I could have energy and focus to prioritize her, because that is something within my life, balancing career and family, I've struggled with. And so it's being very intentional with my colleagues, with my team, with my management on here are the things that I will absolutely commit to the success of this company, to the success to meet our objectives. Here are the things I'm committing to absolutely within my family to meet those successes and objectives. And the thing that I say happy and to be content when it does feel overwhelming and I am spread so thin and it's not possible to be everywhere at one time. I have my grandmother's small pocket Bible in my office and I go in there and I take a deep breath and I put my hand on her Bible and say, God, you got me. I'm going to leave it to you because I cannot figure this out. I cannot logically process through this challenge in front of me. I need your help. And to this day, it's worked out and I've been able to achieve that happiness and being content if I just pause and be still and let it process through. So for me, it's in my Christian faith and staying there and balancing that with the demands of the corporate world. And it's not always easy, but if you can stay true to yourself and have something physical in my life, having her Bible helps me remember her and I get to that quiet place and say, I can get to that place of happiness and contentment, even though there is such a demand on my time and energy.
I resonate with what you just said, because I don't know how I would do anything without the help of the divine. So I have to ask you, I mean, you are now the top spot. Your first time as a CIO. Again, I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm going to ask you like what they do the president. You know, what did you do in your first 100 days? How did you even start?
My journey started before I started, you know, day one. So it's learning the organization, learning the industry, then coming in. And I really spent the first 30 days meeting the team, meeting the IT team, meeting the cross-functional business domains, meeting the leaders, meeting the individuals, you know, within the company. And then thinking about what's our North Star at Save-A-Lot? Where do we want to be? How do we get there? And then sitting down and really thinking through, how do we logically, from a strategy perspective, but then bringing that down to the tactical and really looking at the organization. So knowing the people, greatest asset in any company are the people. Do we have the right roles? Do we have the right leadership? And ensuring that we had organizational alignment to those strategic goals. That was step one for me. Step two was looking at what is our technology strategy? Where are we heading today? Is it the right model? Through my assessment, I completely did a 180 pivot on our 2021 plan roadmap that had been presented to the board and approved by my predecessor. And we are now more focused on a disengagement and moving the company to a private cloud. So that was tough. That was coming in, doing a organizational restructuring, doing a roadmap pivot about 90 days into the role. But we are now in execution mode. The team is growing. We're building upon those business align, the product alignment that we've built within the IT organization. And we're seeing those small wins that we had early on are now being their big wins. And I'm just keep telling the team, enjoy the journey, because those small wins that we're having, the business is partnering with us. We're building those bonds of trust, and those small wins are now medium wins and big wins. And even I'm so excited for the future of our team and this company.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is so good. Well, tell me now, our listeners may not understand this, Jennifer, but you guys are one of the largest discount grocery chains in the United States, but you've got 1,000 stores, right? This is big stuff, but what is going on? What is new that you're seeing in the grocery technology world?
Yeah. So we have 1,000 stores, 32 states, 13 distribution centers. And we have recently, over the past year and a half, transitioned from a retailer to a wholesaler. So what does that mean? That means, unlike other leading grocery stores in the United States and across the globe, our Save-A-Lot stores across the United States are owned by small business owners. We, as Save-A-Lot, are the wholesaler to those Save-A-Lot stores. They carry our branding and carry our private label products. So we carry Mantia's pizza and products. So that's the unique differentiator that we have. I love seeing, just yesterday, a Facebook video came through from one of our Save-A-Lot store owners. They own one store in Kentucky, and he made his own personal Facebook video post to his neighborhood. 3 weeks ago, I made the trip from St. Louis to Effingham, Illinois, to Clinton, Illinois, and back to St. Louis to visit two of our Save-A-Lot stores in those cities. And it's just amazing. It's the husband and wife. The husband is giving us the tour. The wife was stocking the shelves. They knew the customers' names. It took me back to my small town and that feeling that I had there. It is your neighborhood grocer in that rural community. And the other thing is being able to focus in and have a differentiation of product within the store. So we provide the private label. We have national brands that we provide as well. But those store owners, they localize their store to their community. There's a phenomenal store down in St. Clair ran by Matt Sauer, and he has candied beets in his stores because that's what his customers have asked for. I never had candied beets. They're delicious. But that's that unique differentiator that our Save-A-Lot stores have in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I came from a small town too, and I loved it when we would go to the grocery store because everybody, they knew your name. They even knew what you liked, you know? And so I love getting back to that human connection. So, you know, what do you think the grocery store experience is going to look like for the future?
It's a great question. It's where we spend time in the discovery and think tank. The beautiful thing about Save-A-Lot is we are going to be able to leapfrog. So we have spent the last 15, 20 years not on that bleeding edge or even leading edge. So we have some cool things that we have in our back pocket in our lab, discovering how do we remove that friction of the grocery buying experience. How do we bring forward the capabilities within our mobile devices? We do have curbside and delivery available for our Save-A-Lot stores. But what's next? and really taking a human-centric design thinking approach to resolving those pain points for our customers, leaving a day in the life of looking at the research, but also going out to the stores and doing the ride-alongs. Just as I did the shadowing in college for the medical field, it's getting the IT organization out in the car rides and with our retail partner operations team that are out there every day with our B2B customers, our store owners. What does that look and feel like? How can we provide more seamless automation and tools and applications for those store owners so they can spend time with their customers? They can be talking to their customers on the floor instead of in the back office doing back office tasks. The future for us is really focused around that customer experience in the store. Of course, from a cost perspective, we are a hard discount grocery store. So how do we remove costs throughout the system, all the way from procuring the product to the product going in the car and the home for the end consumer?
Well, technology can certainly be a part of that story.
Yes.
Right? Of removing the cost, right? And making things so much more efficient. So I love that. Well, Jennifer, tell me, this is something extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
The something extra that every leader needs is strong empathy, understanding of the employee experience, the customer experience. One of my favorite quotes is Maya Angelou on, everyone will forget what you say, they'll forget what you do, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Day in and day out, it's listening and understanding what that person may or may not be going through for that day. The way that I manage and I share with the full organization, and I repeat it, I try to repeat it at every Ask Me Anything, is I view the org and I flip it upside down. The customer's at the top, and then it filters the way. I very much subscribe to servant leadership. I am here to build the best team and empower them every day to come with creative ideas. And, you know, the one thing that shifting the culture here a bit is, don't come to me and ask me what you should do. I have hired you to be the best and brightest in your role. Come to me based on your experience, your ideas, your research. Let's brainstorm together. So that's a little bit different. And that's flipping the org upside down, where it is that servant leadership and our customers are at the top. So having that high empathy, I think, will serve everyone well.
Right. Because what you're doing by leading that way, Jennifer, is you're giving people a voice. Their voice matters. Their opinion matters. Bring me your ideas. I don't want to tell you how to solve the challenge. I want you to bring me what your ideas are. And people love knowing that they've had a voice, you know, and then you can have discourse over that and choose the best solution for the customer. So, Jennifer, what are you most excited about right now? And how can our listeners get involved? Is there something you want to talk about and invite our listeners in?
From a Save-A-Lot journey, I'm excited on our growth. We have pivoted from a retailer to wholesaler. We'll be wrapping that up in 2021. And get out there and visit a Save-A-Lot store. We just did a new brand relaunch, Like A Lot A Lot. It's fun. It's bringing energy into our employee base. It's bringing energy into the consumer base. Even in meetings, if someone says a lot, someone inevitably says Like A Lot A Lot. And just, we did a lip sync contest, departmental contest. It's bringing fun and energy. We have the remodels. The stores look amazing. Great products in those. And we're in a growth mode. We are growing the IT organization. We're growing our customer base. So be on the lookout. Visit your local Save-A-Lot. It's different. It's a different experience than what you may have in your mind from, you know, maybe 5, 10 years ago.
I am so glad that you mentioned that, because our listeners, go out and Google Like A Lot, the video. They've got a really funny video. It'll give you a chuckle, and it's just fun. And so I think that's the vibe, you know, that you guys are promoting. So Jennifer, I cannot thank you enough. I know how busy you are. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today. I cannot wait for our listeners to hear from you and all your wisdom and insight. So I appreciate you, friend.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor, and I'm humbled to be a part of your circle. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.